Welcome to the 716 Rocks Podcast. My name is Natron Patron.
And this is Grizzle.
And behind the glass, we have our producer from BMA Productions.
Red Beard.
With the red chin strap. You still growing it? Straight up for football season.
It keeps me warm, man.
Chewy. Chewbacca. All right, man. I'm giggling in the moment.
There's really nothing to laugh about here.
I am quite upset, Grizzle. This is like when you're getting rebuked by your teacher in school and you start giggling and you know you shouldn't be laughing. Anyways, really disappointed, man. How you feeling, dude? You all right? I saw you puking upstairs earlier.
I really have to answer how I feel?
It's like a Bills loss hangover today.
Yeah.
You talking about it?
No.
We're going to talk about it today. You're going to leave it all out on the table, man. We're going to talk about those feelings. All right?
Let's just move on.
All right, let's move on. You know, I'm looking at the stat sheet here, and if I look on paper, I'm thinking the Bills beat the Chiefs.
You would think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, they pretty much dominated almost every category, save for, I don't know, maybe three important ones.
Kind of important.
I don't know, all the fumbles they lost. That was kind of a big deal. I don't know, I guess fourth down efficiency. I mean, I know 0 for 1, but fourth down play calling in general was kind of an issue.
Goose egg? You're telling me goose egg.
It's Easter time, baby.
Easter's. It's not Easter. It's not even 6 months till
Easter's. Doug Marone's had diarrhea since Easter's. And red zone efficiency. 0 for 4, you know?
Oh, another goose egg.
Another goose egg, baby. Wow. You know, they're in the red zone 4 times.
Not encouraging.
2 field goals, 1 fumble out of the back of the end zone. More on that later. And then, of course, the last real opportunity to score at the end of the game there. 4 plays on KC-15, 4 incomplete passes.
You know what we need to do, Nate?
Talk about Grizz.
I mean, what's your name again?
Natron.
You know what we need to do, Natron?
What do we got to do?
We got to talk about the positives.
Yeah, you want to focus on the positives? It's like some sort of reverse psychology here. Focus on the good.
You know, there's got to be some positives to take. Well, let's start with number 1.
All right, tell me.
We're talking about Marcell Dareus.
Oh, Mr. Big Stuff.
Mr. Big Stuff.
Come on.
I mean, the defense in general, but Marcell Dareus, my man, 9 games in.
Okay.
Has 10 sacks.
What?
At the defensive tackle position.
That is beast mode. Is that like a record yet?
You want to know what the NFL record is for a defensive
He's
tackle?
He's got to be close.
He is on track. Keith Millard.
Yeah.
Back in 1989 with 18. I mean, that's a lofty goal.
Okay.
It is a lofty goal.
18 is a lot for a
But
D
if
tackle.
He keeps this insane pace,
yeah.
he's there to break the record.
Dude,
which,
that's insane.
Hey,
man.
Listen, if we don't make the playoffs, at least we get a record holder. You
hey,
know?
That's awesome.
But you look at what he's doing on the line and how he's developing as a player since being drafted. Man, it is exciting.
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword because you want to hope that the Bills offensively are going to do something while he's there.
While Mr. Big Stuff is right. Rocking and rolling in the backfield.
And you want to hope that the Bills are going to do whatever they got to do to keep this guy around.
Yeah, just like they did with Bird, right?
No, but it's a new era.
It's a new era, new
Terry
owner.
Pegula.
Not quite as tight as with the purse strings.
Going to put the foot down and say, we got to keep this guy around.
We got to keep him.
Secondly, let's talk about Chris Hogan.
Hogan.
That is a positive. You look at what he's
Hogan
doing for
the
this
token.
Team. In my mind, he looks to me like the Bills equivalent of the quote-unquote Welker position.
Yeah, but he's got size.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's got a few inches on Welker. He's at 6'1".
And what is the Welker position?
The Welker position, you got that fast speed burner, not exactly the tall guy. What is that noise?
He's a token receiver.
Is that Rivendell?
This is life. Hey, Redbeard's just poured himself 1 hour's worth of exercise, apparently. Because he's texting me articles about how one glass of red wine equals an hour of exercise.
Then I better have two.
You are very heart healthy. You inspire me to be a healthier me, Redbeard. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, anyways, the Bills are using Chris Hogan in a
7-Eleven, baby.
A positive way. So you look at what he's doing. He's getting open. His nickname, right, in Miami.
Always
they,
open.
They nicknamed him 7-Eleven because he's always open. I mean, the dude, he gets open. So you got to feel encouraged about that. This guy was a lacrosse player turned football player, just 1 year of college ball. That's it.
Yeah, at Monmouth.
You got it. College. Just 1 year of college ball.
You can't pronounce it how it looks.
So you look at what he's doing. I think I'm going to make a proclamation here tonight.
Oh.
716 Rocks Podcast. You heard it first here.
Proclamation. I've got my pen out.
Miami, he was 7-11.
Yeah, but we
don't like Miami.
No.
So we're going with a little something different. We're going to resurrect.
Yeah?
And we're going to say, my man Hogan, we're going with the Hulkster.
Oh, yeah, baby. Hulkman, yeah, brother. Yeah, brother.
Oh. So that's number two. Number three, positive. Hey, at least the play calling wasn't so predictable this game.
Right.
Pass, pass, run. Pass.
48 some odd times.
Listen, at least it wasn't predictable. And I think that the amount of passing that was encouraged in the first half, I think it did open up the run game in mm-hmm. the second half. So I feel a little bit positive. At least it wasn't just the same old, but it does leave me this question in my mind as we walk away with a tough, gut-busting loss.
Yeah.
Was it improvement?
Well, did the Bills win?
No.
Okay, then there's kind of your answer. I would challenge you and I would ask, was it the right play calling? Yes, they were more aggressive, less predictable, but you know, we hit on it a little bit with the fourth downs. I don't know if they made the right calls, you know. Grizzle, they're first and 10 on the KC-15. Four pass attempts to the end zone. And we're thinking, like, you know, that was such a big frustration last year. They just wouldn't take shots to the end zone. You know, they would always settle for the field goal.
Right.
But, I mean, you've got an opportunity to get a first down. And you're pretty much – I'm thinking the Bills are going to win here. I'm like, yeah, man, we're going to go up. No problem. 2017. But all four pass attempts were to the end zone. Really not great throws by Orton. Four pass attempts netted you a total of four incomplete passes. So, yeah, they were less predictable, a little less run pass. But, again, I'm just wondering, do they have the right play calling strategy? Or do they just listen to this podcast and like, hey, you know, Grizzle – and Natron are frustrated with our play calling. Maybe we should pass it more.
You know, there's definitely a few situations in the game that I can look at and say, was it the best play calling? No. But I think overall, to be honest with you, the play calling, for the most part, with a few exceptions, was there. I just think Orton didn't get it done. He didn't make the throws he needed to make. And then there were obviously other costly mistakes by some other players that really came back to haunt us.
Yeah, let's talk. Can we talk about Orton since you're on that topic?
Sure.
I don't know. I'm so positive. I've been so positive about Mr. Orton. You know, I kind of made a promise to myself: no more Uncle Orton, no more Papa O. Mr. Orton, he deserves that respect.
A couple weeks ago, it was President Orton.
President Orton, vote for Orton. Is this when it implodes, Grizzle? Is this when we see the 9-10-year journeyman quarterback implode?
You want my take on it?
I want your take.
Listen, my take
is... truth, baby.
Orton had a mediocre game.
Yeah.
That you can't get around it. He missed the throws he needed to make. But my question would be, was it one bad game, or is this what's going to characterize the rest of the season for Kyle Orton?
Oh.
Let's take a look at his stats.
Break it down, Professor.
Tell me, one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Fitzpatrick. I love him. I love that beard.
No. I said best quarterbacks in the
league.
Oh,
okay. Okay. Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning.
Probably the best.
Yep. And I'll get to him in a second.
Yeah, okay.
Name another.
You want another one.
Phenomenal quarterback.
Phenomenal. I mean, we got Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
He tossed up, what, 6 TDs, Red Beards?
First half.
Woo! That is impressive.
What I'm getting at is Mr. Tom Brady. I know, listen, you're a Buffalo fan. We don't want to talk about New England. We don't like him, blah, blah, blah. But you can't get around the fact that Tom Brady is phenomenal.
He's really good. That's why I hate him.
Look at a few games from this season alone and his stats, and we'll talk about how they compare to this game for Kyle Orton. A few games that Brady had. Lost to Miami. 29 of 56, 249 yards, one touchdown, and zero interceptions for Tom Brady. They lose the game. They play Minnesota. They win. He's 14 of 21 for $149, one touchdown, zero interceptions. That's not exactly phenomenal, is it?
Laughable.
I'll give you another game. The loss, again, they lost to Kansas City, New England did. They got blown out. 14 of 23 for $159. Cool. One touchdown and two picks.
Cut him.
Yeah, exactly my point.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
You look at Kyle Orton's game yesterday, 29 of 48, 259 yards, a touchdown, zero interceptions. Did he make critical passes that he had to make? No, he didn't. But you look at some of the games that Brady has played, who we would undoubtedly say, yeah, he's a phenomenal quarterback.
Yeah.
They're doing okay.
Yeah, I see what you're
saying. Is he going to bounce back?
I would like to, you know, if you look at the past four games by Tom Brady, it's a little bit different story.
True.
But
he's had some bad games.
Yes. And the truth is, you look at Mr. Orton, 2016 VP. I heard that might be on the ticket. You know, honestly, if in the end of the game, when he's got four shots from KC 15-yard line, if he connects with one of them and scores that go-ahead touchdown, you know, we're probably not even talking about his game. Because overall, I mean, yeah, he would have been then roughly at like 270 yards by the end of the game. Let's say if he tosses a couple more passes, it probably wouldn't have passed it after that, but whatever. 260 yards, no interceptions, two touchdowns. He only got sacked once. That's more of a testament to the O-line, which is impressive. Never thought I'd say that this season. So, you know, the truth is, if he connects on one of those throws, we're probably not having this conversation. So I see your point.
Right.
Not ready to sink the ship. Okay.
The difference between Kyle Orton and guys like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, it's just number of touchdowns. That's really what it comes down to. Even from a pass completion percentage, we've got Peyton Manning, arguably the best in the league, 67.7% completion percentage. We've got Kyle Orton with 65.6%. And guess who's below Mr. Kyle Orton is Tom Brady.
Wow.
64.1%.
There you have it, man. The professor speaks again.
So I chalk it up. Was it a negative of the game? Absolutely. It was one of my negatives from the game is that Orton, he didn't play great. Mediocre. Sorry, you're on the negative list, but I'm not ruling you out yet.
Can I drop this what-if scenario on you?
Go for it.
What if Mike Williams dresses for the game, and what if they toss it to him in the corner of the end zone up in the air, and he attacks the high point of the ball.
That's like his specialty, right?
I think that's what the coaching staff said.
Right.
Hey, that's why we traded to get him, right? Because he attacks the high point of the ball. He's a red zone threat.
Hard to do when you're not
dressed. Yeah. Mike Williams, we love you, man. Get him in the game, baby. He's a Buffalo Brawler. Riverside, what's up?
I'm going to go back to our first negative.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's get off this Kyle
Orton. All right, man. We got to keep it moving, baby. Keep it moving.
He had a mediocre game. But, again, we wouldn't even be having this conversation had it not happened for the number one negative, which is obvious.
Oh, two
second-half fumbles that were just punishing.
Bryce Brown, what are you
punishing.
Doing?
Punishing.
Ball security, bro.
If he doesn't fumble it out of the end zone, I'm pretty sure we got a solid chance we win the game.
Oh.
Nobody's depressed in Western New York. We're kind of like, it wasn't the greatest
performance. We would be singing the shout song right now.
We could be. We may be.
Did you want to sing the shout song today?
I had my hopes. I had them set high.
Are we going to sing the shout song today?
I'm not singing any shout song.
I'm not singing it. I won't. I refuse.
You see that play, though? Did you watch that play, replay?
Yeah.
Bryce Brown fumbles the ball, gets a tomahawk chop from behind.
Yeah.
Here's my question. It's hard to tell from the replay. My question is, does he see the end zone, and does he let up just a little bit?
Probably.
It's really hard to tell. You could watch it 1,000 times. I don't know if we're ever going to know for sure. I mean, he knows deep down. But I can't help but wondering, does he let up a little bit?
Yeah.
And it just frustrates me to no end. You watch some of these players, McKelvin included, you watch him on the punt return, he's got the ball hanging out, the old, you know, bread basket.
The old enchilada. Did you just snort? Did you see? Let me ask you this. You know, let's rewind it back to the Bryce Brown fumble. Did you see Scott Chandler flailing around at it?
I don't care.
He looked like a grizzly bear.
He did, but I don't care.
Swatting at salmon in the river.
Should he have picked the ball up? Sure. Should he have not shoved it out of the end zone?
Should he not sure. Swatted it like a fly. Okay, I get your point. You know what? You know what Bryce Brown's got to do? He's got to go back to the film. Maybe he slowed up. Maybe he didn't. It doesn't matter. Like you said, the pigskin is out there for the taking. It's like on a rotisserie. Just, it's Thanksgiving Day. Anybody take a bite out of this pigskin that I'm rotating over the open spigot? Chris Hogan, did you notice when he caught the ball on his touchdown reception, right? He catches it around the 5-yard line. Did you see what he did? Oh, man, he makes a beeline for the end zone. And right before he's about to cross the end zone, the goal line, he puts both arms around the ball. He puts it out
what
in front.
What a novel.
Right in front.
Concept.
And he got two arms like this. And he wasn't even about to get hit. I mean, guys were there. But, you know, it's not like someone was coming with a tomahawk. Jam!
What a novel concept.
You know, Bryce Brown. And that's why I love Chris the Hulkster Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's fundamentals, baby.
I got a sidetrack. Did you see from the Utah-Oregon game on Saturday?
Yeah. I know where you're going with this.
My man from Utah. He's about to score a 78-yard passing touchdown. Makes a nice reception. He's taking it to the house. He gets to about the 2-yard line.
Ooh.
And decides, oh, I must be in the end zone. So let me just drop the ball and hot dog it. Are you kidding me?
Ugh.
Hold on to the ball. Why do players let up? I don't get it. What is going on? We're gonna put the video clip.
Dude.
For those of you that did not see it, we'll put the link up on our 716 Rocks Facebook page.
You know what
page.
We need to do? We need to do a mashup. A video mashup of all of these plays going back to Lee and Latin Don Beebe.
But it makes me wonder, like, did Bryce Brown, did he let up a little bit? Just mentally,
just a little bit.
Give up just enough for that tomahawk chop to knock the ball out.
Bryce, we love you, but, you know, the phone lines are open. If you want to call in and just kind of talk through what was going on, we'd love to hear from you, dude. Tweet at us, 716ROCKS. That's
how,
our Twitter
how name. Do these athletes, these professional athletes, still continue to do this after example? For me, it goes back to coaching.
Yeah.
Why aren't coaches, and maybe some of them are, but why aren't coaches saying, listen, you don't drop the ball till you get to the back of the end zone. Just a safeguard from stupid mental errors that occur.
Until you do a Lambo leap.
Exactly.
You're not dropping that ball.
I think when it comes back to coaching and you talk about the mental side of the game, there can't be compromises. There can't be exceptions. It's like a situation like that in the Utah-Oregon game or even a situation where fumbles occur. Coaches just got to be on top of that and say, listen, there's no exceptions here. You need to be free of mental errors.
Or what?
There's no room for it.
Or what?
Or sit
down. What do we start doing?
Listen, if I make mental mistakes playing flag football.
Are you going to sit Bryce Brown, though?
I'm getting put on the bench.
Are you sitting Bryce Brown?
I'm going to do what I got to do. I don't care. If you're making stupid mistakes, go sit on the bench and think about it and get back out there and do what you got to do.
All right. The professor dropping knowledge here. I agree. You
and then there's McKelvin.
You got to get back to fundamentals.
Same exact thing. Hanging the ball out there for someone to just...
Oh, my gosh.
Fork and knife like it's like he's
dude.
Saying, hey, here's your dinner.
How many of these games has he lost for the Bills?
Don't even get me started.
Numerous. I looked this up. You know, 2012, he had a massive statistic year. We signed a big contract for him. Do you know last year he fumbled it 11 times? I had no idea.
11 or 7?
Well, it was 4 on the kick returns and 7 times on punt returns.
So he should be called 7-11.
Yes! Yes, Leotis 7-11 McKelvin. That is glorious.
You know, I got to throw this out there. This is going to be our poll question of the week.
Okay.
For my man Leotis.
Yeah.
Because you think about the games over the years, the Cleveland game. New England game, the Kansas City game yesterday.
Check, check, check.
Fumble, 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 right? Even the fact that there's just so many games, as many plays that he makes that are great, he picks the ball, whatever, runs one back, whatever. How many times does he get burnt on the corner? I can take it if the dude's getting beat short, but you can't let guys behind you. How many times is he getting burnt?
Yeah.
Poll question of the week.
All right.
Is the risk reward of having McKelvin on this team, is it worth it?
Ooh, I've got my vote. Man, I feel like Honestly, he's got to go.
It's going up on the Facebook page. Go to 716 Rocks Facebook page. If you think yes, he's worth it, his mistakes are outweighed by his good plays, vote yes. If you think no, get him out of here, he should be canned, place your vote.
The people want to know. Check out the polls, guys. Check it out on our Facebook page. We'll tweet it out, too.
All right, let's get to our last negative from the game. It just comes down to coaching.
Yeah.
I mean, what are your thoughts on the coaching?
Well, you know, you mentioned the mental errors. You got the fumbles out there. You know, Lawson, I mean, Manny Lawson, I mean, both of the touchdowns were, they didn't hold the edge. They bit. It's like this mental.
It's another mental mistake.
Discipline
it's
is lacking.
It's the same thing as holding on to the football.
And you hate railing on the defense because they played such a strong game. I mean, six sacks. I mean, they were in there.
They played well. But
both of the touchdowns, I mean, Jamaal Charles, it was, hey, they converted on their fourth down. It was fourth and one.
Yeah, but they didn't try to punt either.
And he scampers for 39 yards on a counter. I mean, so it's just these mental mistakes. You know, the play calling on the fourth down, we mentioned it. I mean, twice it was fourth and one and they punted. I didn't feel great about it. You know, the first time Central Henderson gets a false start, the second time they probably should have gone for it. You know, it's just a lot of questionable calls. I feel like the coaching staff is always kind of one step behind.
I'm going to put something out there for the listeners, right?
Yeah.
Fourth and one situations. There was a situation yesterday, right? It was fourth and inches, and their philosophy is we're going to try and draw them off sides.
Like, yeah, right. That was
they weren't even trying to run a play.
Yeah.
Fourth and inches. Listen, in this league, if you can't pick up a yard, you don't even deserve to be mentioned in playoff talk.
Bam.
You don't deserve it.
That's right.
That's what I think.
You got to have the will to win, baby.
Fourth and one. It's a yard. It's a foot.
It's a couple inches. Get it.
How can you not just pick up a couple inches?
Will it. You got to will to win. Yeah, that was really frustrating, man. I mean, throwing EJ, he's like 6'5", man. He can just stretch the ball in between Eric Wood's legs and bam. First down. It's frustrating. I don't know. What do you think about coaching? You got one more.
One other coaching thing I just have to question. It's not a big thing, but it's like, why is Goodwin returning kicks? He's just coming off the injured list. We're going to make this man run into a brick wall, being the other team that's rushing down off the kickoff. Drizzle. Oh, I wonder if he's going to get hurt.
Drizzle.
Like, I wrote down in my game notes, second quarter, why is Goodwin returning kicks? He just came off being injured.
Drizzle.
Do you think the guy's not going to get hurt
Drizzle.
Returning kicks?
Just let me bring it. Let's just calm down for a second. If Goodwin's not in there returning kicks, who is?
I don't care. Put some running back in. All right?
Bryce Brown could probably return kicks. He'd probably be sweet.
Put Booby Dixon.
No, here's the deal. I got to disagree
Somebody
with you.
Somebody that didn't just come off the injured list.
I don't care. You know what? This is a man's sport. You know, if you can't play with the big dogs, get off the porch. You know what I mean? You can't play.
Stupid coaching.
You can't play to not get guys hurt. I mean, yeah, if it's like garbage time, you want to sit your star QB, I get it. But look, you got CJ Spiller on IR. Goodwin is a speed burner. He's
Stop
an Olympian
making
excuses
athlete. For the coaches.
Who else is going to return kicks?
This is our problem.
I don't care. You don't
it's
play
guys like
to
you.
Not get guys hurt. You play to win. You are the coach that would punt on fourth and one.
I am not. I would never punt. Whatever.
All right. Playoff contending proof is lacking. You got me so amped up. I can't get out of this voice. I could be talking about kittens right now, and I wouldn't be able to stop talking like this.
Oh, let's close this out. You look
right,
at,
dude.
Do the Bills have, are they playoff contenders?
I don't know. I'm feeling very negative.
You watched yesterday's game. The proof is lacking. That's all I can really
unfortunately,
say.
Unfortunately, they could have been 6-3, 3-3 in the AFC, but now they're 5-4. 2-4 in the AFC, and unfortunately, even if they go 10-6 by some Hail Mary miracle, the truth is they're losing to teams where they need a tiebreaker. You know, they're not going to win the division, so they need one of two wild card spots. I think we know it's just not looking good, man. Honestly, 9-7 is looking a little bit more realistic. But don't call me Debbie Downer. You know, let's see what they do, bro. Let's see what they do.
All right, just to recap, poll question of the week, go to Facebook, 716 Rocks Facebook page. Is McKelvin, the risk reward, is he worth it? And just to throw out there, our poll question from last week.
Yes, what was it?
Interestingly enough,
okay,
the question was, are the Bills playoff contenders where they sat at 5-3, or will they self-implode as per tradition?
Oh, it just got a little warm in here.
80% of the Western New Yorkers are saying, or they said that the Bills are playoff contenders. Oh. 20% self-implode. Now, it would be interesting after yesterday's game to repost that, but you heard it here on 716 Rocks Podcast.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate you tuning in. Grizzle, it's been fun, man. Lock it up. Over the top.
Oh.
Bam. Hey, let's see what happens Thursday, huh?
Quick turnaround. Thursday night football against the Dolphins. Let's go, baby.
Boom.